All right, good morning, my good people. You are tuned in to the Black Conversion Show on 92.7 FM with your girl, Brandy Grayson, the hostess with the mostest. I am so happy to be in the building this morning. I'm excited. I'm excited to tell you my business because I've had an interesting week, y'all. And no, I don't have a co-host today. And my visitor producer, Parker, is in the house. Parker, Superman, during the day.
Superman. Oh,
wait,
wow.
Is that Spider-Man or Superman? Parker is...
Spider-Man.
Spider-Man. Never mind. And y'all, just for all the listeners, he looks just like him. Like,
yeah, it's not terribly far off.
I mean, like, he actually could be Spider-Man, y'all. I think
hey,
he should play.
You never know. Maybe I've got something hiding.
Maybe. And if you are, then I'm going to need you to come and do some stuff on my end, okay?
We could all use a little help right now.
I wouldn't mind to have spider help. anyway, today, you know, we always start off the Black Conversion Show with just checking in. So I'm going to start with you, Parker. How are you doing today?
We're doing pretty good. We've got a very busy day. We've got an interview set up, hopefully right after this.
Okay.
So, yeah, I'm talking to parents and the kid, kid who has a disability they lost their accommodations to get onto the swim team.
Oh man, why?
Exactly.
Is it through school?
Yeah, it's at Madison West High School.
Oh my goodness.
And so they had to go to the school board and talk about that, and they ended up getting them back. So they are back on the school team.
But the fact that they were even taken.
Exactly. So we're going to be doing an interview with them. That'll be on Make the Call. I don't know if that's before or after the show, to be perfectly honest with you, but it is on Saturday here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Okay, cool. That's 92.7 FM. You guys, you are tuned in to the Black Conversion Show. So yeah, just checking in with my guy Parker, and that sucks. And when I used to do a lot of IEP advocacy, Urban Triage actually started, that's how we started the work, is IEP advocacy and school advocacy. And a lot of the things that were happening to folks with disabilities and special needs was, it didn't make sense. But a lot of it is around money, right? Because, especially vulnerable poor populations, people are expecting that the parents won't say anything or do anything. And then when you do speak, then something, you know, usually you get the services back. But the challenge is, why would I even have to do that? And that causes compounded trauma, stress to the family. And it reiterates to the youth that they're not important. And you know what I mean? Or we don't see them. Yeah. So I'm really sorry to hear about that with the family. So sending y'all lots of love. And I'm glad that they were able to get those resources reinstated. That seems to be the battle of our time. Like we seem to be in this time, place, or dimension where you got to fight for it. Everything to breathe air, to use basic resources or have your basic needs met. And I was just saying to my staff this morning, I am the CEO of Urban Triage, and nonprofit organization serving the greater Dane County area. But I was just saying to my team this morning that this isn't a physical war or battle. It really is a spiritual one. You know, who's going to outlast this? And I would just say outlast this Trump era, this era of national movement of nationalism or Christian or whiteness, right? Like it is really interesting to be a part of this, especially as a social justice activist and someone who is always continuously looking to figure out how we as a people and as a community honor the humanity of all of us. So it's an interesting time, and it's interesting to have read about the civil rights movement, read about Jim Crow era, read about the lynchings, read about enslavement, and the era of revolution. I say revolutionary, well, that too, but the era of like the Civil War and the era of like the industrialization and all of that. And then to be where we're at right now, it's almost like we're entrapped in time, like we're repeating our past. And because I believe it's a spiritual war, I feel like we're back in time to make different decisions, right? And will we make different decisions as a nation, as a people? And the real question is, will white people make different decisions? And I think that's hard to hear sometimes, because when we think about the history of colonization, colonialism, and what the violence that comes with it, and how most of it was able to occur because we were complacent and not people known as black. I don't say we, because we the 92%ers. I'm not really included in that. But as a country, we often have been complacent and compliant, and like that doesn't affect me until it affects you. So we sit quiet, and then the billionaires and the folks who control the policies, the lobbyists, and now controls every aspect of our government, gets to run amok in a mafia style regime, and it's happening again. And in time, of course, they often have the power and the ability to write history and or rewrite history, so we don't actually understand the total context or content of our past. So we often are in danger of repeating it. So it is my hope in 2025, people like Parker, the white dude that looks like Spider-Man, and his family and people like myself can really get into a space where we can be in community to develop our own understanding of what humanity looks like. So that's my response to all that has been said so far here on the Black Conversion Show. But the most important part of my check-in with y'all is that y'all like to hear the tea about Brandi Grayson. Y'all love when I'm messy, so I'm here to be messy this morning and tell you all about my business. Part of my trauma recovery and part of my leadership style is to be very vulnerable and transparent and honest. And I find that I cannot not be honest even when I try not to be honest. It's something in my blood that has me honest even when it hurts me and it hurts other people. And I often think my son has that same genetic coding where he'll get in trouble at school and I'll ask him things like, how was your day? I was like, how was your day at school? Mom, it was challenging. And I say, what was challenging about it? I couldn't sit down. I couldn't stop talking. This boy said this and I punched him in the stomach, and he surprises me how honest and transparent he is. And then I think about how people often say to me, you're so honest, it's scary. So you're in spaces and you're saying the thing everyone's thinking, but no one's going to say. And I can guarantee you, Brandi, you're going to say it, right? And so I don't know where that comes from, but that's my spirit, and I'm learning to accept it. I've been really hard on myself about how much I share, how much I don't share, what to say, what not to say. So I'm learning to embrace all of me, and I'm sure that's a becoming. You know what I mean? That's something that I'll continue to do for the rest of my life in this currently 45-year-old body. But it's been a journey, y'all. But I think Parker and rest of my listeners today on the Black Conversion Show, you're tuned into 92.7 FM on WMDX, okay, with your hostess with the mostest, Brandi Grayson, the woman you love to hate but hate to love. Y'all freaking love me, so that's why I have a show, because you love me so much and you like to hear me, you like to see me, you like to follow me, so here I am, okay? Anyway, as I was saying, I really believe that I'm a part of the Truman Show.
Uh-oh.
Parker, yeah. Do you know the Truman Show?
Just from having heard about it, I've never seen it. No.
What? This is crazy. That's because
you're 22.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you're right.
I'm sorry. Yeah.
Parker, like, I'm old enough to be your child, Brandi. So, I mean, give me a break. And that's the funny thing is I'm surrounded. Like, the universe has surrounded me with young folks. And I don't know what that's about. Because I'd be talking and they'd be like, I don't know what you're talking about. Fine, Parker. So anyway, the Truman Show is with Jim Carrey. You know who Jim Carrey is, right?
Okay, yes.
Okay, so he's the main actor, and he's like moving through his day, but the whole time he's part of a movie set. And he doesn't know that he's part of a movie set. Yeah. But he starts to figure it out because things are weird. Like, he can only go so far, right? Or, like, when he's leaving or trying to leave a certain area, then all this traffic shows up and then it disappears. So he starts to question his own his own sanity. And then, like, he starts to recognize that, like, some of the people are the same people he just saw over there. So I'm like, I have to be in the Truman Show. There has to be cameras watching me all the time because my life doesn't make sense. I mean, like, I feel like, I don't know if it's the cameras or the universe or I don't know what's up. You know,
yeah. It's a very small world.
Is it? Is it?
Sometimes.
I mean, is it, Parker?
Sometimes it's small. Other times it's like, oh God, really? There's that much else going on? That's so out of my sphere, I don't care.
Do you feel like you're in a Truman Show? Like, it's like made up sometimes?
Sometimes, yeah. Every now and then I'll hear something from somebody that makes me go, oh God. Oh yeah, that's like, oh.
That's got to be made up. It has to be made up. So let me tell you about my business. And today, you guys, we're going to talk. There's going to be a lot of subjects today. We're going to talk about the Epstein files. They're always around, right? Some theorize that it's part of Trump's distraction, Medicaid, the shutdown, to distract us from what's in those Epstein files. But Jasmine Crocker has spoken on it, and she's saying that it's bigger than Trump. This is a foreign, multi-global system with billionaires and millionaires and involving our actual banking system. I worry about that, girl, because when you have truth tellers, they usually end up dead or crucified. We're also going to talk about Keta Rose. You may or may not know who Keta Rose is. She's like a TikTok influencer and star, but she responds to Stephen King's response to his commentary on Jasmine Crockett. We're also going to talk, listen to a little bit of The Rolling Show. I don't know if you guys heard about The Rolling Show, but it's an interesting conversation. So we're going to cover that. Today, our topic, and we want to honor today in October, is Domestic Violence Month. In a world of misogyny, patriarchy, and sexism, and all the isms in the intersection of isms, blackness, racism, and all that, I want to honor space for women, and specifically, as always, black women. And I know it's hard sometimes to listen to me as other folks that stand outside of blackness. It often feels like I'm only talking to and I'm only serving black people. And the reason, I know why it feels like that for people, but what I'm going to encourage is our listeners get uncomfortable and get into discovery of why, when people known as black are centered, it feels so uncomfortable. Because it really is a you problem. Because I've listened to Latino-centered Latinos and Asian-centered Asians and Cambodians, you know, Vietnamese. And like, I can go to any service agency that's African too. Like, we have an African center, and no one asks, are you serving other people Africans, right? Like, are you serving other people Africans? It's not even a question. No one asks the Latinos, are you serving black people? And if you're not, you should. No one's inquiring about it, because it's kind of like, we know why you exist, because that's a subgroup that needs maybe some specialty or some translation or some different handling. You know what I mean? Like, there's never any question. Indigenous people aren't questioned why they have institutions and systems specifically designed for them. But when we run black spaces, hold black spaces, center black people, it comes from all walks of life. Does urban triage even serve other people? Are you guys anti this? Now, we live in a city that's not predominantly black. So anyone that walks in our space gets served, and we serve them with the same integrity and humanity that we serve everybody. So I just want to say that. So in honor of a Domestic Violence Week, we're going to continue in honor of me, black womanness, Brandi Grayson. I'm going to continue to center the voices of black women and blackness and black stuff, because that's what I am. And I think it's okay, and it's okay for you guys to get into discovery of why it's not okay, why it doesn't feel okay. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. But I'm really excited about today's show. I kind of went on a tangent, but I still haven't told you why I feel like I'm in a Truman Show. So I got to get to that, y'all. So for our listeners here on the Black Conversion Show, and for people who follow me on Facebook and other social media platforms and in the news, because y'all know they love to put me in the news, is one of the things is I was in a recent relationship, right? And I've been doing really good, being in integrity with just dealing with my emotions, because I love the crap out of this person. Like, he was my everything. I thought I was going to marry this man. Like, we made plans. I mean, I bought a house, y'all, a big old house to incorporate him into my life. And now I don't have it. You know what I mean? So I've said I'm in a Truman Show, and I'm going to tell you why, because the last 7 days, God has been playing a lot of jokes on me and putting me in situations that have me questioning my own insanity or sanity. Is it insanity or sanity? Maybe it's sanity that I'm questioning. Might be a little bit of both, Parker. But we'll see. I want to remind you guys to follow Urban Triage on Facebook and to support our Giving Tuesday that's coming up December 2nd. So you want to stay tuned to the Black Conversion Show as I tell you why and share my mess and all my personal business here on the Black Conversion Show. You're tuned into 92.7 FM WMDX. Stay tuned for the politics and more on these Epstein files that's apparently global.
You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Okay, it's your girl, Brandi Grayson, here on 92.7 FM WMDX. And you are tuned into the Black Conversion Show. Yes, okay, let's get back to the tea, because I've talked so much before break, I didn't even get to what I planned to get to, but, you know, that is the story of my life, because I do talk a It's one of my gifts and my curses. But, you know, as everything in life, the thing that gives you strength is also your kryptonite. Why is it like that? Okay, anyway, moving on. I got distracted. So I was saying prior to break that I'm part of a Truman Show. And the reason being, y'all, so I broke up with my partner a few months ago, You're just going to stay focused. So anyway, so over the last week, I decided I haven't been going out, right? I go to, like, stuff, but I don't really go out. I try to avoid spaces that he's going to be in, right? So, y'all, I walk into a bar, and I'm like, okay, this is a safe space. I don't think he's going to be here. He walks in, and he's matching me. We look like we got dressed, Parker, in the same room. Oh. The same. I'm in royal blue and black with my royal blue dress on, looking all cute and fly, sexy dress with a black vest. He walks in with a royal blue suit with a black shirt on and a vest. I said, yeah, this is the Truman Show. This is the Truman Show. But that's not it, Parker. That's not.
I was going to say, my brother and I used to wear the same thing all the time by accident.
Right. Right, so I get it. You know, it's a coincidence. Things happen, right? Like, okay, things happen.
But to be there, too.
And check this out. So that's not the last time. So I happen to be, I went to get my braids taken down at night or something like that. And then I stopped because I'm like, oh, let me stop at Quick Trip to get gas so I ain't got to do it in the morning, trying to be all proactive. Guess who walks in, Parker? He does. And you know what he got on, Parker? He's dressed identical with me again. This ain't it, Parker. That's why I know I'm in the Truman Show. Something's weird happening. So I have an all red suit on, and I have a black leather jacket on. That's what I have on. You hear me, Parker?
Yeah, I hear.
And I'm like, and I'm looking cute and fly like I always do, right? So I turn around. He has a same red turtleneck on as me, the same material with a black leather jacket on.
Yeah, that's too weird.
That's not it, Parker. It's not it. This is why I know that something's up. I'm in the Truman Show. Y'all ain't going, y'all playing, God, whoever is doing this in orchestra is not funny. Okay. So then yesterday, for people who know the business of Brandy Grayson, you know, I am the founder of Urban Triage. We're located on Park Street, 2312 Park Street Village Mall. We have the Hub. Well, he has a business that's located in the Hub, which is like a whole bunch of businesses, black businesses, white, but whatever. So I'm leaving work. Parker, I have a blue jean outfit on, looking good, had a good day, had my little Gucci on, you know, I have like little pieces of expensive things that I've accumulated over the last 5 years, right? So I'm looking good, leaving. Guess who I see walking apart the parking street? Guess what he has on, Parker?
Same thing.
I said, okay, yep, the Truman Show for sure. It's all good. It's all good, y'all. So we just gonna leave that be just honor that I'm in a movie, and it's okay. So...
That's brutal. That's tough.
I don't even know what to say. Like, what is this about? Okay. So anyway, I'm going to leave that long, and I'm not going to tell y'all what my thoughts are around it because I'm messy, but I'm not that messy. Okay, y'all, because then y'all be tripping, and I be tripping, and I don't want to be tripping today. So we're going to move on the Black Conversion Show, but I just wanted to tell y'all why I thought I was in the Truman Show. But today I want to focus on, and I want us to listen to the Roland Show, right? I want us to listen to this soundbite because it's going to bring context for what we're going to talk about as it relates to domestic violence and Jasmine Crockett. Go ahead for me, Parker.
I'm sorry. If you say free Crystal Mason, you free Crystal Mason if you defeat his ass.
That's true, but I think we need to confront the fact that in our community, as opposed to in Montgomery, there are a lot of people who feel very comfortable with black women being punished. And Republicans understand that when you put a black woman out front, oh well. Look at what LaMonica McIver. She is still facing federal charges, trumped up charges, for some and we barely hear about it. We've talked about it on this show, of course, and in other black media spaces, but is there an uproar? They tried to censure her this week.
Why isn't there uproar?
Because black women are unprotected in this country.
Yeah, including
I don't, but wait, hold on. Let me give a couple more examples. This administration has shown time and time again, when they attack black women, there's very little response. 300,000 black women have lost their jobs. And there's a shoulder shrug to that. Adriana Smith was kept on life support. She was an incubator for a baby for months. And she was taken off life support, and there was very little fanfare about it. And so the problem with, I wish in the depths of my soul, that we can make a black woman the poster board and say an injustice against the black woman is an injustice against our entire community. But we are seeing each day the way that this administration is proving that to not to be the case. And we're seeing with Crystal Mason's case, as abhorrent as this has been and as much coverage as this has gotten on your show, it has not moved the needle.
The reason.
Okay, thank you so much, Parker, for playing that. So I wanted, the reason I thought this was important to provide the context of our discussion today is because did you hear what the black men, like this is a black news kind of platform, and she's basically saying black women are not protected. 300,000 black women have lost their jobs and opportunities due to this DEI elimination in the Trump administration, and we are the most impacted by loss of state and federal funding. We just are, right? We are those people, you know what I mean? And the response to the black men sitting next to her was, no, that's not true, no. And then she had to explain herself. So what I want us to understand when I talk and center black women and when we talk about domestic violence and we talk about what's needed and required, not just in the whole community, but even in the demographics of our sub-community of black communities, we need an understanding. Even black men don't understand when black women say we're unprotected. It shouldn't even be an argument in the context of patriarchy, misogyny, intersection. But most of us don't understand even what those words mean. We don't understand that we're not doing oppression Olympics. We are all impacted in this context of white supremacy, and we're all impacted differently. And yes, black women aren't protected. And yes, we're going to always be the first attacked by systems and policies. And then we're often the first ones to show up to captain save people. So we're going to talk about this more in the context of Jasmine Crockett, in the context of domestic violence. And if you're looking for support or need support or suffering from domestic violence, please reach out to DAZE or Rape Crisis Center or Freedom Inc. in the Dane County area. You can Google them. You're tuned into the Black Conversion Show with your hostess with the mostest, Brandi Grayson, the woman you love to hate and the blackest as it gets. Okay? Stay tuned for more politics and tea. All right, my people. You are tuned in to the Black Conversion Show. Okay, that's a little techno, a little revolutionary. Okay, Parker. I don't know if I want to talk or shake my head. Hey, a little disco-y, okay? You're tuned into the Black Conversion Show here on 92.7 FM WMDX with your girl, Brandi Grayson. Ooh, I just love how my name sounds. It sounds like I need to be famous. You know what I mean?
I like
Brandi Grayson. Yeah, and at first I didn't like it because I was like, that's a white girl name. But the positive thing, Parker, is when I used to apply for jobs, which I no longer have to do because now I'm a boss, but maybe I will again because y'all drive me crazy here, so I might apply for some jobs away. But the positive things, they didn't know I was black. So then I would get an interview and then I would get in there and then I would kill the interview. They'd be like, oh, I like you. I said, I know you would. You just need to see my face. Okay. So hey, mom, rest in power, mom. I appreciate you naming me Brandi. I used to ask her, why did you name me Brandi? And she would say, because I used to love the drink. I said, all right.
I was going to make a joke about that, but I figured it would be inappropriate. And yeah.
Look, Parker, nothing's inappropriate on this show. Okay. You know, like I'm not a sensitive person. You could say, you know, just say what's on your mind, because like I told you, it's automatic for me, which means I hurt myself and hurt others. But anyway, moving on. Okay, back to our conversation today on the Black Conversion Show. We're talking about domestic violence awareness. And to folks who can hear me and need support or services, please reach out to the Rape Crisis Center, DAZE, and Freedom Inc. Those are the three organizations I know that provide services and support. Urban Triage, the organization that I founded and is and are currently the, is it is or are, is currently the CEO of, we also provide supports and services. We're not the experts in it, but you know, we serve all people. So if you feel more comfortable stopping in our location, please do. We're located at 2312 South Park Street. Okay, what I'm going to have us do, because prior to break, we had a clip of this platform of news reporters talking about all the black women that have been targeted by the Trump administration and the federal government. We have the attorney general that's, you know, been like trying to get, I think she's federal charges against her. And that's not being talked about. All the women, black women throughout our country, over 300,000 folks who have lost their jobs. So I wanted to provide context, because in that conversation, the black men were like, no, none of that's true. And not to speak poorly on black men, but to say and to show that it's not just lack of understanding with white folks or brown folks, it's within our own community. I'm going to make a connection to this in 1 second. Do me a favor, Parker. Go ahead and play the clip from Jasmine Crockett, state representative, federal representative. Wait, where is she from? Texas? Okay, I'll look it up. I don't know why.
It sounds like Texas to me.
Yeah, yeah, I don't know. She might be from Texas. But her response and a commentary on the Epstein files, if you can play that real quick for me.
It's concerning to have a potential pedophile as a president. That is concerning, right? But this is like even bigger than him. I want people to understand the information that we were given about foreign governments and their participation, the information we were given about our own federal government and how high of a level we're talking about as far as like them being in cahoots. We know that JP Morgan Chase ended up paying out a large settlement because they basically kind of looked the other way as there were these ridiculous wire transfers mm-hmm. that were going by. We know that there were fake corporations that were set up. We know that, or at least we've been told that there were fake immigration documents that were put together so that women from other countries could end up over here. We know that there were allegedly fake marriages. This goes and it reeks through every single level of government. And it's one of those reasons that these survivors have been quiet for so long, right? Because literally they would walk in and they would see these pictures of Epstein with all of these powerful people from all over the world. And then he would threaten them and say, if you say anything, just know I know everybody, right? And so I think if we are going to prevent Epstein 2.0, or if Epstein 2.0 is taking place right now, I think it's important that we nip this in the bud right now and we learn what we did not know and we put some safeguards in place to prevent this type of thing from happening.
Thank you, Parker. So that's deep, right? So what Jasmine Crockett said, she is the United States Representative of Texas 20th District, 30th District, Congressional District, and she's been a United States representative since 2023. And the sister is pretty bad. She's outspoken. She's a truth teller, unapologetic. She's an attorney. She's smart as a whip. The sister is on fire, okay? And the reason I wanted to share this clip is because literally she's saying that the Epstein situation or conspiracy or whatever you want to call it is bigger than our own president. Like, so we're over here like, we need the files. And we literally have a rapist, a bully, a felon, a person who probably can't read beyond a sixth grade level, a white man that threatens everyone. Like, I don't even know another word from him. He's like the white mob leader. But if he's your symbol of strength, like, what does that say about our education level? Okay, I digress. Back to what Jasmine Crockett said, right? So she's saying that this is involving JT Chase Morgan Bank. It's involving our federal government on levels of fake immigration document paperwork to get women over to the United States and to sex traffic women from foreign countries, that is directly involving other foreign countries. There has been fake bank accounts and fake corporations set up to launder the money, and the banks are allowing it and they know what's going on and they're partaking in it and participating in it. And then she's like, if we need to prevent a Epstein 2.0, or we need to address it, right? And for our new listeners, you're tuned into the Black Conversion Show with your girl, Brandi Grayson, the hostess with the mostest, the woman you love to hate but can't help but to love. Okay, God is good. So back to what I was saying, right? So she's saying, let's prevent another Epstein 2.0, or let's nip it in the bud if there is a current Epstein 2.0. But the funny thing is that, like, if we're in the Truman Show, right? Like, let's just recognize that this is a Hollywood set, and that when we're dealing with a Hollywood set in this stimulation, we can call a Hollywood set, the Matrix, stimulation, whatever this is, it is definitely made man-made and ran by people with power, influence, and a lot of money. So when we talk about this level of violence, right? This has always been part of billionaire reality, right? Hollywood reality. And when people like Kanye West says these things to us, because, you know, they go crazy and then they talk and we're like, you crazy, boy, shut up and go sit down, you know, then we don't listen. But what I want to say is that there is no, how do we prevent Epstein 2.0. It is already here, and that the our ability to deal with it directly, or even have the truth be told or shared in the world that's rooted in performative and fakeness and inauthenticness, and like people generally speaking want to be lied to. Parker, do you find that we just feel better when we're lied to than the truth?
I mean, people certainly like to hear what they want to hear more than the truth sometimes.
Yeah.
So that, yeah, that can be lying. And I think that's kind of something that a lot of America is what enjoying right now, is just having the truth, not the truth, and just be like, there's a clip from Mythbusters with Adam Savage, and he goes, "I reject your reality and substitute my own."
That sums it up, Parker.
Yeah.
I think that sums it up beautifully. And that's where we're at. And it must be the glitch or the program that's required for us to go to sleep in order for us to destroy ourselves and destroy humanity over and over again. Because whether we're talking about the Holocaust or the Black Holocaust that happened before the Holocaust, I can't believe the King somebody who literally murdered 34 million Africans. We have to be asleep. And then we have to rewrite history, right? Because I remember that dark time, 400 years of darkness, and there's nothing written. We know what was happening. Anyway, let's just move on. So my point of having that clip is to say, first of all, she's in danger. Two, because she's a Black woman speaking truth, there is no protection or provision. Three, I pray to God that God continues to cover her. Four, we live in a world right now that anybody who went against Trump ended up dead. Did you see the judge who like put an order to stop something he was doing, and the next day her house was on fire?
I did not.
Oh, my
see
God.
That.
Like,
no.
It's happening everywhere. We have judges, even before, like, all the things that Trump was trying to do, we had judges that were standing up to him, and they were receiving pizza delivery with threats. And then we had the folks, the representatives in Minnesota, right, that were murdered, right? Like, this is, like, we're literally in Hollywood. Like, we're playing out a reality that we're somehow denying as people. And then we're going to work every day pretending it's not happening, because we need to lie to ourselves to be okay in this fake stimulation. Like, it's all fake. Okay, I'm done. Okay, so back to my point, right? This space that people know, and in this intersection that people know as Black and Black women exist, where there's lack of protection. We had Stephen King, this dude who has millions of viewers. I think he's on SportsCenter or something. This Black dude who's straight up a clown. And I'm going to just say it. I'm going to say he's a coon. He's a symbol of coonism. And he's always speaking negative on Black people when he could just shut up, right? He perpetrates and then predicates this way of being that basically says people like Trump should be respected. I'm just really confused by anyone who thinks people who are disrespectful, harmful, and violent towards brown people, right? Immigration laws, and Black people, and women, and your children, and your grandmama who's going to lose Medicaid should be respected. Like, this whole thing about respectability politics, and I mean, like, Madison is a perfect example, right? Brandy don't fit, so we don't like her, so we're going to scrutinize her because she doesn't fit in this social construct of respectability. We need to move on out of that because it's we're sleepwalking. Okay, I'm gonna stop now. Go ahead for me, Parker, my dear. You're listening to the Black Conversion Show, 92.7 FM, with your girl Brandy Grayson. Play the clip from Keita Rose. She's a TikTok influencer, and she cuts a rug on Stephen King's commentary about Jasmine Crockett.
Stephen A. Smith said that Jasmine Crockett isn't doing her job, that instead of going against Trump, she should understand that he's a man in power and she should figure out a way to work with him. Stephen A. said that he doesn't like Jasmine because she sounds too street, yet he spends most of his time screaming at the top of his lungs, sounding like the world's silliest house slave. He says that her verbiage is inappropriate, yet our president says that he likes to grab women by the How appropriate is that, Stephen? Maybe Jasmine would earn the respect of Stephen A. if she sounded more like Candace Owens. Remember, Jasmine is a criminal and civil rights attorney. And Candace spends most of her time on HBCU campuses pushing Turning Point USA agenda. Now, if you remember, Turning Point USA was founded by Charlie Kirk, who said that the civil rights movement was a mistake. This is why nobody gives a fuck about respectability politics. Because as a Black woman, no matter how educated you are, there will always be somebody there to disrespect you and discredit you. And it's unfortunate that it will always be a man that looks just like you. Stephen also said
okay.
That Hughley is more of an activist than he is a comedian. But when you see the agenda that's being pushed on Black Americans, when you understand that Black Americans, especially Black women, are being targeted because of the 350-something-odd-thousand women that have lost their jobs, you do need to be more of an activist than anything else, because somebody has to step up and say something. And Stephen, you could be doing something with your platform other than performing and bootlegging for daddy. But we understand that you need to keep your job. Stephen, you need to do just like your hairline and fall the on back. Black women have lost their jobs. People can't feed
Go
their
ahead.
Families.
It's okay.
Children
it's okay.
Are getting shot up in schools, and black men are being hung on trees.
Oh my God.
And the only thing Stephen is worried about is how somebody sounds. One of the few people, mind you, one of the few people that are actually fighting for us. So T Daddy Trump, please drop off some D at Stephen's door. He's been begging for it. Stephen A. Smith said that Jasmine
Okay, that's
Crockett
good. That's good. She's snapping, y'all. I love Keita Rose because she holds nothing back, no punches, and she just cooked them. She ate with that, right? Like, girl, like, stop it. We got black people being hung from trees. We got people. There's a lot happening in our world, and this dude, Stephen, uses his platform for something, for coonism. That's all I'm going to say. So shout out to you for Keita Rose for representing and, again, emphasizing the lack of protection and covering of black women. And because the thing is, y'all, my people, my listeners, the people that rock with me, is that the people that are the most truth tellers in our community right now are black women. Tell me where I'm lying at. Tell me where I'm lying at, right? And it doesn't mean that we don't have co-conspirators and people supporting us, like Civic Media, who supports me, because no matter how much y'all complain, they ain't letting me go. Must make you real mad. Anyway, okay, I digress. Anyway, so back to what I was saying. That we really need to develop understanding of this intersection of the lack of protection of black women and women, period, as we honor Domestic Awareness Month. And shout out to all of our people doing the work, working on themselves and supporting those who are most vulnerable. You want to stay tuned to the Black Conversion Show because I have more tea and more black history. Y'all know I like to give the history. I'm a teacher by trade. All right. Here on 92.7 FM WMDX. I'll be back in a jiff.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
All right. You tuned in to the Black Conversion Show with your girl, Brandi Grayson. Okay. Up above. Ooh, that feel good, Parker. That's that soul music. Okay, all right, let me get this. Okay, I got distracted. I'm about to go up above the clouds. That's how I feel like I need to go somewhere, just away from here in a different reality. In this Truman Hollywood simulation is... Okay, let me calm down. Breathe, Miss Grayson. Ground yourself. All right, there's the smile. Okay, I'm back at it. Thank you for tuning in to the Black Conversion Show here on 92.7 FM WMDX with your girl, Brandi Grayson. Prior to break, we were just talking about what we were talking about. If you missed it, too bad, okay, because I only got a couple minutes and I don't have a time to recap. Okay, so what I want to do next is to provide you with a little education on Black history. And the name of this clip, or what it talks about, is selling to the Negro. And the reason I want to provide context is to help us understand the conditioning of our brain and our mind and how we are conditioned to accept things and how people market things to us and why we think, one, why we think black people shouldn't center black people and why that feels yucky to everybody. Oh, you got an organization that's about black people? You wrong. You got an organization that's about Latinos? That's cool. That's cool. I don't even gonna question it, right? Like, that's the reality we live in. But I want to bring context to understanding that reality. It really is indoctrinated and really is marketed to us. Go ahead, Parker, with that clip for me, Black History Selling to the Negro.
You know, you need to watch an old video called How to Sell to the Negro. They did a video instructing stores on how to sell to the Negro. They said, make him feel like he's exclusive. Mm-hmm. Make him happy about it. Make him feel like he can't afford it. Put it behind the glass. Say, no, don't even worry about looking over there. This is something that's around your budget. You mean I can't afford that? What? Give me that. Send your whole check. Sell your house for a jacket. How to sell to the Negro. You watch that, you're gonna be like, they really did this. Yes, yes.
Here is what sales psychologists have to say about selling to the Negro.
This was in 1954, y'all.
The secret of selling
y'all
to the Negro is expressed in one word. That word is recognition. Now, there's nothing unusual about that. People want to be recognized. They need recognition. That's basic in all of us. But perhaps because he's had so little of it, the Negro needs even more. He needs to feel important and appreciated. This need is a very real and important one. It shows up even in many of the Negro's shopping habits. Anyone who sells or wants to sell to the Negro customer should know about some of these habits. Three habits in particular play a big part in every sales transaction. To begin with, most Negroes buy by brand. They ask for products by name. They're quick to turn down off brands. Buying by brand, that's the first important Negro buying habit. Now for the second. The Negro buys good quality merchandise. Symbols of quality and prestige are very important to the Negro customer. This woman, for example, is buying fine crystalware. But she is also buying the admiration and approval of her friends and relatives. Listen to her thoughts.
My, isn't it beautiful? I can hardly wait to show it to Sally and Joan.
It's a well-known fact that many Negro customers are influenced by the opinions of others. What their friends may think of a certain item.
Okay, Parker, I'm going to have you cut only because we're running out of time. So to the folks who are just tuning in to the Black Convergence Show with your girl, Brandi Grayson, on 92.7 FM, we are discussing, and I've been discussing, the indoctrination of our thought around Black people. And the reason I played this clip, because it's from 1954, y'all. It's the clip that people, corporations were, how they were training their directors and their marketers to market to Black people. And people known as Black that are tuned in and folks who have association or proximity to Blackness can understand that this 1954 is 2025. That is still how we behave. So I was in a restaurant last week with somebody. We're eating, and the lady was really rude to us, right? And we could tell that it wasn't about anything but what we look like. And the person was like, "I'm going to give them a big tip." And I said, "Why would you tip terrible service? Because I don't want them to think that I can't." You feel me? White people, Parker, someone do you wrong, would you tip them more or less?
No, probably not.
Yeah. It's a different reality for us. So we're always trying to prove to people, one, that we're worthy. We're not that Negro, right? I'm not that Black person. Stephen King, right? He wanted to prove that he's not like Jasmine Crockett or D.L. Hughley. He's not an activist. He don't care about that. I have a platform and it's sports and I'm going to stick to sports. Like, boy, shut your up. Okay. So anyway, I digress. So I want you to understand when I talk about people known as Black and I talk about us as a community, white, Black, brown, and everyone in between, is when I talk about white supremacy and I provide education, it's to help us understand how our minds are conditioned, how our nervous system is conditioned, and how the, like, all people activities, y'all, from marketing to social media to what you see on the news to what you read to how we educate ourselves in academia, how what books we have access to, what information we have access to, what is represented when we view these things, what we see, smell, hear, all of those things play a part in how we see the Negro, right? From, and it didn't matter if it was 1865 or 1920 or 1954 or 2025, those same techniques are still being used, same strategies to convince us that Black women don't need protection. We don't need to respond that 300 Black women are now unemployed. And matter of fact, what's happening in this Truman world, right, with this Trump and everything and us losing health care and losing our county budget is being cut with services and not centering homeless people. It's like, it's almost like we get to excuse reality and then be like, well, that's just what was happening at the time. When Black Lives Matter was happening, I was trending with that. And I, as a white person, I put the signs in my yard. And now that we're trending with white nationalism and the backlash of Black Lives Matter, I'm rocking with that. And there's nothing I can do. But let me tell you something, my people, there is something you can do. You can show up. You can show up in spaces. You can write your alder person when they try to cut our funding, our agency funding across Dane County. We've already had 4% cut. They're trying to cut another 4%. That means the work that Urban Triage does in housing and homeless, and we're placing people like this. Like, we do amazing work with cents on the dollar, right? And they're going to take the cents on the dollar. We just need to get better. Say something, do something. Don't let history repeat itself. So my point today is it is Domestic Violence Awareness Week. Support Rape Crisis Center. Support DAZE. Support Urban Triage. Support people that are doing the work, y'all. And I wanted to provide some context on how we see women and how we're conditioned to see women. So all right, you know, I got to wrap it up because Civic Media only gives me an hour. And shout out to Civic Media, but I'm going to need more time. I need to be on the air every day. Don't you think, Parker?
I could see that.
You know what I mean? Don't you enjoy me?
You got plenty to say. You got plenty to say.
Okay, plenty, right? And it never stops, Parker.
Yeah.
Right? And Spider-Man can join me. Y'all, Parker looks just like Spider-Man. I'm just saying. So thank you for being with me today on this beautiful Saturday. I'm tuning into the Black Convergence Show, and I'll see you next week. It's your girl, Brandi Grayson, and I am out.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.